I put my glasses on. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. While you're finding that, I enjoyed visiting with somebody in your church. Over here you have Aliba, and I don't know if I'm going to get his last name right, Mukukwa, something like that. Of course, he's from Nigeria, and so I sat beside him a little bit. Not been to Nigeria, I've been to Sierra Leone. I was just recently there, and it's very close to that. So I was over there talking to him this morning, and if you've been on a continent of Africa, it's kind of the same. It changes a little bit, but usually there's a bond you can immediately identify with. For instance, they can carry things on motorcycles in Africa that you wouldn't think was possible. I witnessed in Sierra Leone, I'm driving down the road, I looked up, and there's a sheep tied to the roof rack of a car. Well, he wasn't tied, and he was doing a really good job of balancing. I think he was just trying to stay alive, you know. So they got these four little feet there, and he's got a halter on, and he's tied to the roof rack, and he's just surfing away, you know. I looked at him, I thought, I took a picture of that, because that was, you collect these things when you're in Africa. I've actually seen a picture where they were trying to put a cow in a car. That was a hoot. I've seen like 100-pound bags of cement on the back of a motorcycle. It's just unbelievable what they can do with a motorcycle. Well, actually, the bigger the vehicle, they can get carried away. There are no lines in Africa. I mean, now I shouldn't say that. You go to Cape Town a little bit, but most of it, and that was very hard to get used to. Like you said this morning, you know, you said why you talked about missionaries and that they begin to kind of resent that. Well, I work with an older missionary. Jim's what, 64, and he's I'm high strung. There are no lines. They don't exist. Okay, so you as an American got that ingrained in you. You go, you find what's supposed to be line, and you wait patiently for your turn. And then all around you, they take the receipt. And it's this contest of who can shove it in front of the guy's face the fastest. I'm pretty good at that now. I said, you can't beat them, join them. You know, but I was in the hardware store, and I hear this yelling. And I'm like, what was that? And Jim comes back, and like, he's gray hair. I mean, he's 64 kind. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, what, Jim? He says, I blew it. And I'm like, well, what'd you do? He said, after the fifth guy butted me in line, he said he just lost it, you know. And I said, come on, Jim, it's all right. Let's go get some ice cream. Because there's just, you know, that's just part of living there. And it was funny. The more that I told him those stories, he would laugh right with me because he knows, you know. I mean, it was so funny. And I told him, you know, it was 3 weeks ago. This got the biggest laugh out of him. I said, what? See, I landed back Africa on the 24th, 25th of January. So it's been 4 weeks. So 4 weeks ago, literally, I was in Africa. And I told him, I said, it's been 4 weeks and I haven't bribed anybody. You know, I'm getting a little rusty. And he cracked up laughing. You know, that's because he understands. You know, to go get a job, if you want a job in Africa and you're an African, you have to pay the guy. So if you're in charge of HR, you're going to do a little side business. And the side business is whoever comes inside your office for that job, you say, if you give me X amount of money, I'll get you the next interview. And I'm dead serious. That's just the way it is, you know, throughout the whole system. And it's so funny because when you're from there and you just realize, well, that's the way it works. There's a saying that we always call it, see if I get it right, TIA. This is Africa. So whenever you go to say, hey, why isn't there a line? Or, you know, and the police are funny because instead of just outright asking you for something, they always say, I need lunch money. You know, the bigger the lunch money, the quicker the, look at him back here, he's rubbing his belly. Yeah, I wouldn't try that with U.S. police officers. The bigger the lunch you buy, the smaller the ticket. All right. Okay. Now I got a little bit of fun in. Made me miss Africa this morning. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. What I want to do is just kind of carry on kind of the same vein we've done each night. What I hope to that the Lord would leave you with is this. Number one, we're not helpless. Okay, yes, we live in a broken world and you yourself are broken, but you're not helpless. Number two, the things that we're going to do for the Lord are going to be deliberate. You're not going to accidentally do it. So if you're honest, you should want change in your life. Well, then just do it. You've got the ability and the power in God to do that. You're not helpless. The things that you're going to do, you're going to do deliberately. If you buy into this whole thing about missions and you want to get involved in that, then that's going to be a deliberate action on your part. And the whole idea of this week, just help us to think about some things, you know, to cause us to really focus on getting involved in the time that we have left and making an impact. And one of my prayers was, is Lord, show them that no matter who you are, we know when you're not here on a Sunday morning, you know, that impacts. Number one person it impacts is him. And it's not because a number thing. Because when I was at Slippery Rock, we would get 40 visitors a Sunday. Wasn't that? Because a pastor loves his people. Okay? And when you're not there, he automatically assumes he did something wrong. And he internalizes that, and it eats him up if he's a good pastor. I'm just telling you the truth. That's just the way it is. So even just you being here on a Sunday morning is powerful because it helps him. And then he turns around and is able to help everybody in the room. And so I want to just continue that a little bit more. God's put the power in your hand, okay? But it's up to us to do something with it. So let's look at that this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to be involved in missions. Thank you, Father, for my friend from Africa this morning that made me miss my friends over there. Church is already done. They're back at their homes. They've eaten lunch already. The day's wearing on. Many of them are struggling. I just thank you that you care about them. Thank you for allowing my wife and I to be involved in their lives and this church to be involved in their lives. I just pray you'd help us this morning. Help us to clear our mind. Jesus, we need you. We got to go back out this week. We got to put the failures of last week behind us and go out into this week with hope that Lord, we can do something for you. Things can be different in our lives. Lord, I pray that the God of all encouragement would dwell in this room. Whether it's a sinner struggling with sin or a person that's become complacent, whatever the case may be, there's no greater encourager than you. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you look here in verse 54, talking about Jesus, and he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary and his brethren James?" And it goes on and lists the rest of them. So what they were doing when they saw Jesus, they looked at his occupation, they looked at his family, and they said, "How is this stuff happening? You know, how is this taking place?" Because even in the life of his son, the father gets the glory, amen? You know, and a lot of times people look at Christians like that. Here they are, they look at Christianity as being for weak-minded people. And, you know, if that's the case, then how are these things happening? How are they doing that? And it goes on to say, it says in verse 56, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. They were actually offended and in his status and the people around him, okay? But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country, in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It doesn't say that he wasn't able to do it. It just says he didn't. He didn't do it, not because that hindered his power, because that would be ridiculous. It's not that we somehow can control that, you know. No, that's not what it was. What it was is he looked there and he said, I'm not going to do this here because you don't even believe. There was things he wanted to do. He just didn't do them because they didn't believe. And what I wanted to show you this morning, in some way, that we hinder, not that God, we take away his power. It's just that he's going to get things done. And he's just not going to waste his time if the people around don't want to be involved in it. That's just all there is to it. And may I tell you something? We're the ones that are going to miss out. Not God. God's not going to miss out. We're the ones that are going to miss out. That's why Paul pleaded with them, listen, I want you to be a part of this. I want you to get involved in this. Not for me, but because I know what this will do for you. God says, Dave, I want you to be a part. Not only did I save you, Dave, I want you to be a part of this, because with this comes this. I can't do this without this. So because they didn't believe, or they had a lack of belief here, Jesus was not able. He said, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because they said, how can this happen from this guy being a part of this family? They were negative about it. And he just said, you know what, I'm just going to go on. I'm going to go down to another place. And he did. And you can follow me. He did mighty works all over the place. He just didn't do many here because of their unbelief. So what I want to start off with this morning, I want to show you what happens when there's an absence of faith. You see, what we talked about it at the very beginning. Faith is understanding and believing that what this says is true. Here's one really quick. Oftentimes, when I was pastoring, you meet somebody and they say, I'm dating somebody. And immediately I'll say, hey, are they a Christian? And I can't tell you how many times somebody would come up to me and they would say, well, no, he's not saved. But the problem is, there's a verse in the Bible that says if you're not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Okay, if God, I didn't say it, but if God says it, and he's the creator, the guy that can throw stars around, okay? You know, and in Revelation it says, and they saw an angel standing in the sun, a God that can do that, right? He can just throw stars around. You ever look at the stars? It says he scattered them. When you look at the Milky Way and you got this long stretch, that's exactly what looks like what he did. He just got up there and went, shoom, and out they went. You know, a God that can take whole civilizations and implode them. That very same God says not to be unequally yoked, and we go, forget you. You know, I'm just going to do what I want to do. From people who still acknowledge God. I mean, these are people that are believers. Well, here's the problem. Why would you do that? The only way you could do that, and I'm guilty of it, is you have to remove your faith. Because you would not, in clean conscience, do that, knowingly admitting you just ignored the God of the world. Why would you do that? See, It's not an authority problem. It's a faith problem. At that moment, at that time, we take that and we hide that. Well, here's what happens when people do that. Go to Matthew chapter 8 in the absence of faith. Let me show you what happens in Matthew chapter 8. And I want you to look, let's go to verse 23, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. This is a story that you're all very familiar with. And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful? Okay, and then look what he says after that. O ye of little faith. So you know the story. They all get in the boat, and Jesus is tired, and he's working hard. He goes find that. By the way, in a boat, that's my favorite place. I get horribly seasick, so I look for a flat. Charles has seen me do that. You know, I get horribly seasick, so I find the flattest place I can, and I wish for the morning. You know, so Jesus got on that boat, and he went to sleep, and then they hit this big storm. Now, do you realize what chapter you're in? What chapter are we in, Pastor? Okay, so they've been around Jesus for a while. They've seen some things. They know this is not just an ordinary individual, right? It's not new to them. So they're in the boat. The waves are coming up. Jesus is fast asleep. They think they're going to die. They get up. Why are they waking? You know, you ever thought about this, Pastor? Why are they waking him up? Because part of them know that perhaps they could do something about it. Or else, why would you even bother wake them up? You know, wake them up. We're going to die. And they said they were fearful. You know why were they afraid? Because where there is an absence of faith, fear is going to fill that void. And God doesn't want you to live like that. And that permeates our world today. And that's not what God wants. He wants to hand the power over to you. And it's through your faith. That believing that God is in control. And if he's in control and I'm following him, then no matter what, I'm going to be okay. Do you believe that? Well, you do right now because I'm buttonholing you. But what about tomorrow? When fear comes in, faith leaves. Because he identified the problem and he said, you're afraid because you didn't have faith. If you would have had faith, you wouldn't be afraid right now. And God knows this world is hostile to us. So he gave us the power of faith and his word in which to believe on. Do you understand what this is? It's incredible. The greatest archive ever. A letter from God to me. And God said, you just believe that? Man, fear moves. But whenever we are fearful, you cannot say God can do this and God can do that. God's in control, and then put fear in the middle of that. If they truly at that moment, I mean, believe that God, take out the Son. Jesus is equal with God because they are the same, correct? So you had God in a boat that made everything. He's in the boat. There's nothing you ever have to worry about. For us, God is, abstract a little bit. He was in the boat right there. Pastor, they could go like this. Hey, is he breathing? You know, they could do that. God, I mean, could you imagine? Oh, to have Jesus with me for a day. Do you know how empowering that would be? Only if you believed that it was him. So let's go on from there. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And I want you to see verse 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy, and I circled this word, look at this word here, what's it say next? That thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Because this is all has to do with the fact that Jesus was warning him, hey, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, I'm not going to do that. I'll die for you. So he has a one-on-one with Peter, and he says this, Simon, Satan wants you. Satan wants you. He is desiring to see you fall. So, Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that your faith doesn't fail you. So, you know, in the absence of faith, sin moves in. Listen, pastor can warn me. Pastor can say, hey, Dave, maybe you're doing this, doing that. You know, you're going too fast. Maybe you slow down and spend time with your family, whatever. And I should respect the fact that he cares for me. If he doesn't, he cares about me. And I should put a little bit of value in what he's saying, right? What about when God does that? See, if Peter, and now what chapter are we in here? 22. Has Peter seen a lot of stuff by now? Enough to quit playing games with this. Who is this thing? Okay, who is this? Well, we're past that. We're in chapter 22. All kinds of things have happened. At this point in time, we have established that this is a different individual. No doubt, right? Do you know why Peter did not take that warning seriously? Because at that moment in time, as those words were coming out of Jesus' mouth, he failed to recognize that that was God standing right in front of him. And God never gets anything wrong. And God is always right. And Peter didn't act on that information the way he should have. And Jesus knew what the problem was. What was the problem? Did it say some deep, dark sin in Peter's life was going to cause this to happen because he was out drinking and running around on his wife? What did he say the root of this failure was going to be? Faith. Poof. You know, I mean, so far we've got a couple things that happened. We've looked at it and say, man, you know, I'll just tell you this one in Numbers. You can look at it later. Numbers chapter 32. This is when Moses is recapping what happened when the spies went into the land of Jericho and they looked and they got all afraid and they said, no, God can't do this. The enemy's too big. We're like grasshoppers. Okay, and then they ended up spending 40 years in a desert. Do you know what they saw? The people involved in this actually saw the splitting of the Red Sea. Not your everyday event. They saw the splitting of the Red Sea. The reason why they didn't go into the land of Canaan and they had to, those people died, and then they had to wait 40 years before the rest of them could get in there. Do you know why that happened? Because they did not believe God. So in the absence of faith, the desert set in. Deserts can come up in all kinds of ways. It can be in a lack of a breakdown in a relationship. I promise you this. If two people, because a relationship takes at least you and somebody else, I don't care who it is, if those two people with a broken and a contrite heart took their problems to a living God, He can fix the problems. But it takes two people with a contrite heart that believe He's God. And if you'll do that, I don't care what desert you're in. It'll change the landscape immediately. Because there's absolute power in faith. Do you believe that God can put broken pieces back together again? Do you believe that? Well, sure He can. It doesn't matter how broken, because He's God. He can take little tiny molecules, build it back up again. That's why He did the whole Valley of the Dry Bones thing, to get us to understand that. But the problem is, once we begin to go down there, we begin to doubt whether or not, I've talked to people. I remember this one that came to my office. She was married. Her husband had legitimate problems. There's no question about that. And she came in to me, and I was giving her some advice. And she looked at me, and she said, "So what you're telling me is I'm supposed to be miserable the rest of my life." I said, "No, ma'am, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that the Bible tells me that when you put your joy in Him, that no matter what the situation is here, nobody can take your joy away." And that's Bible. It's whether or not you believe it. That's the problem. It's whether or not you believe it. So these are the things that you see. Okay, so this is kind of depressing. We need to bump it up a notch, huh? All right. So let's go end it with this. Let's see what faith can do when it does come in. Let's go to this one. Go to Mark chapter 2 and verse 4. Mark chapter 2 and verse 4. So now we're going to change gears a little bit. Let me show you what happens when faith does show up. Mark chapter 2, and let's look at verse 4. Let's go to verse 2. "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them, and they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broke it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their," what? "Faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." So here's a man that had a problem that only God can fix. He had some friends. Okay, maybe the sick of the palsy, maybe that guy said, "Hey, can you help me get to the Lord?" Somewhere there were four other guys that joined this thing. This guy, you know, I don't care even if you're 80 pounds. If you're dead weight, you're hauling them up and down the road, there's some effort involved in that. Okay, so these four guys are carrying him on a stretcher. They get there, and there's people everywhere. Well, what would we normally do? "Hey, look, I tried. Okay? You know, I only had an hour. Okay, I got to get going. I got you this far. Sorry about that." But what if you honestly believed that you could just get him in that room? That your friend's going to walk again. If you honestly believe that, you're going to crawl on people's heads. So you get there, and one of the four says, "Take him to the roof." Could you imagine a conversation? "You know how heavy this guy is? I've been carting him around. What are we going to do when we get to the roof?" And the other guy says, "Well, we got to try. We can get him in there." The only way they keep moving because they're armed with something. What are they armed with? They're armed with faith. They believe in their mind to the point, if I can get him in this door, Jesus is going to do the rest. May I tell you something? I'm sure Pastor would like to see some people sitting in here. There's lots of them out there. I got to get to back to the fact that we believe if I can just get them in that door, if I can just give Pastor one shot at them. So you don't give up. You keep inviting. You keep befriending them. You spend time around them. You invest with them because you care about them. And you believe if I could just get them to the water, they'll drink. If I could just get them to the well. They get up on that roof. Now what? So they start ripping the guy's roof off. Somebody's responsible for that. I can see this brother up here going, just rip a hole in it. You know, not worrying about what happens after you rip a hole in it, you know. So I don't know what Jesus, I mean, if I'm preaching and people up there moving ceiling tiles, you know, like, what's going on? And then the light breaks through and here's these four guys and they lower this guy down and Jesus sees this. And he knows what's happening. And he knows these people believe that he's God. And the first thing he deals with isn't the guy's physical problem. He deals with the guy's spiritual problem. May I tell you something today? That everybody in this room, God's equipped you with something that changes lives. If you believe it, this paper, it's just a piece of paper. Well, that's a way to yank some ceiling tiles off a roof. Believing, if I could just get that guy to Indonesia or Cambodia, then they're going to be able to bring them to the Lord. You're not helpless. Yet you have something in your arsenal, and it's your faith. Let's look at something else that faith does. Let's go. Faith changes the future. I'll just tell you this one. You know, do you realize you can actually, well, in a technical way, God knows everything. But Moses' mother has this baby. She's not supposed to have this baby. She gets caught with the baby, they're going to take it and kill him. So she hides Moses for 3 months. And then she has to do something that's incredibly difficult for any mom to do. She first builds an ark out of weeds, puts slime all around it, and puts her baby in that thing, and pushes it out in the water. And that changes the course of history. Because one lady decided to let faith show up and do something. You know, I know that Jimmy Westbrook grew up here and he's a missionary, and I think Rob Willoughby's out of here. It's time to have another one. How do you get those? Moms and dads that are willing to place an importance on bringing up a child in the right way, putting them in that little basket and edging it out in the water. Believing that God, in the life of that child, no matter where they go, is the safest place on earth. Even if it's Cambodia. Because that's what the power of faith does. When faith shows up, I mean, stories change. The things that can't happen do happen. Faith takes down giants. We won't even raise hands. Am I the only one in here that can identify with the fact that we all have giants in our lives? Did you ever get tired of failing? I don't care if it's just you want to clean the basement out and you keep failing at that. And sometimes we feel as though you just ever look at your life and say, why can't I simply do this? Why is it a repeated failure over and over again of something that you want to do? God does not intend for us to live like that. So David looks at this giant, and when he looks at that giant, he says, yes, all of these things are true, but I've got something he doesn't have. I've got God on my side, and I just want, let this sink in just for a little bit. I want it to sink in my mind. So when you go to God and you say, God, help me with this, I believe he does. But I believe the stone wall is us believing he will. That's the problem. May I tell you, you take your giant and you find a place by yourself this week and you get alone and you ask God to increase your faith, I promise you, that giant will fall. Because that's what faith does. Faith shows up, rocks start flying. Things that could not happen, happen. If you take that and you take it to God and you say, God, I have failed. I need your power to show up in my life. And I believe you're not going to leave me. You wrap your arms. Guys, I'm telling you, that's what it is. It's believing that he is. If you remember in that list, that was part of it. So let me just end with this. Go to Revelation chapter 11. And while you're there, you know, we could talk about, I mean, faith. Faith is the key ingredient to the major thing. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going. Hebrews chapter 11. So in Mark chapter 10, it talks about if you're going to come to the Lord, you're going to have to come to the Lord as a little child. And even in the greatest thing, the greatest event in all of our life was salvation. And the reason why Jesus said, if you're going to come to me, you're going to have to come as a little child. We were in Zambia. It was election time. I had to go and I had to preach in Ndola. I had to take my two sons, who are at that time a year younger than they are now. I had to take Brian's daughter, who had only been in Africa for less than 8 months. And it was the election result day. Okay? I think you were in the States. And I had to go there and preach. Now, I could cancel it. It's an hour away. The guy's counting on me. And when I tell you, so there were warnings everywhere. Don't leave your house, because whoever loses the election gets upset. Okay? And or the people who won the election start being mean to the people who didn't win the election. And I had never personally seen that. I just heard about it. I knew I needed to go. My guys were a little bit worried. One of the guys had gotten a T-shirt given to him. It was free, so he took it from the opposition party, of which he didn't believe in. He said, I'm going to go get this T-shirt, and we're going to wave it like we're on his side. I'm like, works for me. But I was a little nervous because I've got an 11-year-old girl in the car, and I got my boys. And I kept saying to my national guys, are you sure? Yes, Pastor. Are you sure? And my son looked at me and he said, Daddy, all we got to do is pray. And I'm thinking, I don't know if that's going to cut it. I'm just being dead honest with you. And I looked at him and I thought, that's my problem. I think with this, Stephen just believes God's there. And God's not going to, he's going to be with us. He's not going to let that happen. Daddy, you're going to go preach. He's going to get you there. And I'm thinking, we're going to go now or die. I'm not going to go tell my six-year-old I'm wimping out. And I'm telling you, man, I got down the road and it erupted. I mean, thousands of people. They're on my car, jumping up and down. I saw a little girl get smashed by a truck all over the road. I mean, there's chaos everywhere. They're rocking the car. And the whole time I'm thinking, oh, and the new girl, she's back there. I mean, like this far from tears. And she said, "Uncle Dave, are you sure we're okay?" And Stephen would say, "We prayed. And we asked God to help us." See, it's that. That's what God was talking about when he said, if you're going to come to me, you got to do it like a little child. Because they actually believe. No questions. They haven't tainted it with their way of thinking or their flesh or their desires. It's just raw, complete faith that we have got a long way from. So even at the moment that salvation takes place, faith moves in, sin moves out. So let me just read this to you and then I'll be done. Hebrews chapter 11. And go to verse 32. And what shall I more say? Verse 32. And what more shall I say of for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon? Remember what he did going up there with a... Can you imagine God telling him, hey, go up there, take these pictures, put a candle in there, bust that, blow a trumpet, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Like, yeah, right. Okay. And what shall I say for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Japheth, of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wow, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Stop the mouths of lions. What stopped the lions? Now, who is he talking about? Daniel. Who stopped that? God. Through what? Daniel wasn't down there going, ah! He wasn't doing that. No. Nice kitty, kitty, kitty. Lay down, went to sleep. Okay? Goes on to say, let's see, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Now remember, all this is through faith. Escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. When you look at that, and you realize, wow, we're not helpless. So, I just want to do one last thing. Miss Maxie, would you mind come stand up here for just a minute? Please. And Brother Al Humbert, would you come here? So Maxie is 84 years young. I was just trying to, she told me it was my birthday today. I was trying to remember how old she was. It's been 20 some years ago. And I mean, she's like the Energizer Bunny. She just keeps going and going. Okay, and then Brother Al. We don't have any younger kids, or I'd put some up here that are 4 or 5. So here's the thing. Now, would you, and I mean this very respectfully, they're both in their 80s. Okay? I actually almost knocked her over in the hallway there because I was moving and she didn't, my fault, and I bumped into her and I sent her flying. Okay? You know, because life's moving on. But both of these people have an incredible power. They're not helpless. You know why? Because of faith. And even though life moves on and things change, that we are empowered from on high. And it's just whether or not you believe it. And that's the reason why Pastor has a missions conference, because he believes it. Man, you can get out there and you can make a meaningful difference because of faith. No matter who you are or at what spot you're in life, whether you're a 6-year-old boy who has to take a ride through a mob or an 80-year-old with a lady or a guy who just, I mean, he wants to move mountains, but sometimes body doesn't always let him. But when they sit back in their pew, they have the same thing that we just read about what faith does. Thank you. Don't be mad at me for having you come up here. Okay, I know you won't be. All right, so here's the question. Can you imagine a Faith Baptist Church just wraps their mind around this? You know, this is something that I think about. I know me, my wife knows me. I thank God that I can have a very honest relationship with my wife, and I can tell her, you know, there's some things that I want to change about me. She doesn't say, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, do you know that she actually prays for me? And may I tell you something today? We are not powerless or stuck. Things can change, things can be different. Oh, we can still march on the enemy. The problems, did you believe me when I show you what happens when there's no faith? And then did you see what happens when there is faith? Oh, what we just need is a group of people like this to just embrace that. And just take a little bit of time. And invitations always amaze me how that, I mean, have you ever just had something inside that was a burden inside? Even if it's just you want to get close to God, and then you're supposed to do that in 2 stanzas of an invitation. Who cares how long it takes? Doesn't matter. All I can do, I can take you to here. Well, actually, God can. From here, you got to do it. Whether you do it in that pew or you do it here, 15 feet really don't matter. What matters is this. If you care about your church, care about yourself and the people around you, do not leave this room without spending a little time with God in this thought about faith, and let it do something inside of you. And then take that power out that door. And certainly, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you definitely don't want to miss that. And that happens simply by believing what he said, that he would do. He died on the cross. He paid for your sins. And he said, if you come to him, and you put your faith and trust in him, he's going to be faithful and just to forgive you. And you're going to heaven, and it's just that simple. But only if you believe that. And I'm glad I did when I was 18 years old. And the rest of it, guys, man, I'm telling you. You know, it doesn't, you can march on Elizabeth City. If we put him in the rightful place and make him who he already is, and that's God. And when faith shows up, things change. Father, thank you for this morning, and I thank you for just being able to spend a little time finishing this journey. And Lord, we are not helpless. You did not leave us down here with inadequate tools. You gave us faith. And Father, you yourself know that that can move mountains. And many times, we spend more of our life in areas where faith is absent, than when faith is absent, things come in. Thank you for showing us what happens when faith shows up. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. Lord, that you would, everybody in this room has things that they're dealing with, situations around them, people that they love, that need this element in our lives to be able to push through the week ahead of us. God, help us to just leave this room believing in you, putting you in that rightful place, and then treating what we do as though we are obeying a living God, and things change. Father, there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Savior. Please pray, give them the courage to come up here and ask Pastor to help them. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you'd stand with me with your eyes bowed and heads closed, and I'll turn it over to Pastor.